So last week we were in Proverbs chapter 20. We ended with a conversation of chapter 20, verse 6 through 12, and we said that verses 6 through 10 were kind of a summary of everything that we had been going through in Proverbs. And kind of up to that point, this was a good place to take a summary. And we said that verse 6 kicks off these life principles that we need to pay attention to, like faithfulness, integrity, being aware of what's going on, not telling the truth, not being deceptive, not cheating, not lying. But in verse 11, it challenged us and it said, you know, even children know how to behave when they're taught properly. And then in verse 12, we found out that we are actually equipped because God gave us eyes to see and God gave us ears to hear all of these lessons that we've been talking about. And we don't have an excuse that God has already equipped us to pay attention and to be aware and to understand what we need to be doing as good people, right? There's a little more to it, but we also talked about our influence and what that looks like. So you might recall the numbers on the board. We looked at high school and what is our influence? How many opportunities do we have to talk to people or show people our example, the hope that we have in Christ? What does that look like? And so we said in high school, if you're a freshman, you have 3 years of classes in front of you, and if you're a senior, you have 3 years of classes behind you. So while you're in high school, you have 7 years of people in each one of those classes, and if you just take an average number of 100 people that you talk to in each one of those years, you have 100 people that you have influence over each year. Times 7, that's 700 people you have opportunities to be an influence with. You take that and keep on going. If you watch the graph up there, the numbers are very, very, very conservative. But let's say you're the next 4 years after high school, whether you're in a trade or whether you go to school, you have about 50 people each year. Again, that's 3 years ahead, 3 years back. That's 7 whole years, 350 more people. All of these things add up to a staggering number that we went all the way to if you're in your 60s. And again, just saying you did the very bare minimum and only talked to just the number of people on the left side of that screen, right? So you got in your 40s, you're talking to 200 people for 10 years. That's all you talk. But that's still 2,000 opportunities that you have to share Christ. And we said that when you're 60, if you just do the bare minimum of talking to people and you don't have a job that puts you in front of people every single day, or you just do your own thing and you stay in your own lane and you don't talk to anybody, is just the bare minimum of things. At the end of your life, at around 60, you could have had 7,000 opportunities to be an example for Christ. So sometimes we miss that, right? It's a good reminder for us to pay attention to what King Solomon is teaching us in Proverbs, and it gives us an opportunity to apply these things and go and say that really does make a difference. Behaving this way, living this way, this is how it makes a difference. It is real life, right? So all of that said, that brings us to chapter 20, verse 13. So, Ian, you want to start?
20, verse 13.
Turn it off.
Love not sleep, lest you come to poverty. Open your eyes and you will have plenty of bread.
All right. So, like always, we talk about the verse. We say, what does that mean? What are we talking about?
You can like sleep, but
too much of it, and you're not going to work enough to not be in poverty.
Yeah, so what's the fine line between being lazy and sleeping the whole day away and not doing anything, or just sleeping in and getting some rest? What's the difference?
Probably right where it's uncomfortable. You know? Yeah. Right when you're making a little bit of sacrifice, probably a little bit more than a little bit of sacrifice.
Yeah.
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 I think it's when you know you should be doing something and you're choosing not to. Like where you have a certain responsibility that you have to be upholding to, like, family, or if you have schoolwork or something you know that needs to get done, and yet you are choosing to push it back or to procrastinate on it.
Yeah. Good.
This was obviously written before food stamps and welfare.
Yes. Yes, it was. It was written well long before food stamps and welfare. Food stamps and welfare existed back then because you worked for it at the edge of the field, right? And picked up the scraps and still had to work. Yeah. Good. So what categories can we assign this particular proverb to?
Thieves and sluggards.
Thieves and sluggards. Good. Anywhere else?
Self-control.
Self-control. Good. Could you put it in diligent workers as well? I mean, looking at the proverb from the perspective of a positive, I need to be more diligent. Good. So the rule is, if you get the turtle and you want to read, you can read. If you don't, just pass it on and it'd be fine. So verse 14.
Bad bed, says the buyer, but when he goes away, then he boasts.
What was the first part of the verse again?
Bad bed, says the buyer, but when he goes away, then he boasts.
Okay. So, may I use you as an example?
Absolutely.
All right. So here's a perfect example of something that this could happen. So if you were here earlier this night, Aaron and I made a transaction between a vehicle, okay? I now own his vehicle. But let's just say that the day that I went to go look at his vehicle, I looked at him and said, you know, you got 2 flat tires. It hasn't even been running for 3 years. This thing's a piece of junk. I mean, this is terrible. It's awful. I'm not going to give you anything for this. I'm just going to, you know, we didn't have that conversation, right? No. So, just saying, I could have said that, because that's all true about that vehicle. It's all true. And then, if I turn around and I go home, and I look at my wife and I say, oh, you will never believe what I just stole today. You got to look at this, right? And I'm starting to brag about this car. Is that appropriate? No. That's actually being very deceiving to Aaron, and we would not want to do that. And that's, you know, often we hear about the used car salesman that we're supposed to stay away from, but it can also be the buyer, right? We're not supposed to treat people that way. We're supposed to be honest and fair, and we made a good arrangement, a good bargain. I've got a lot of work I've got to do to fix it up, but hey, guess what? I'm okay with that, and he was okay with that, and it's good. So I'm not, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So thanks for letting me use the example.
Absolutely.
But that's kind of what this is describing, right? It's that behavior, cheating someone, telling them that it's a terrible thing, and then all of a sudden you realize the diamond that you got, right? It's stealing. Right, it's stealing outright, making him feel terrible about the vehicle that he has, so that I can make a better deal out of it. Does that make sense? That's a good example, I think, of what this is really talking about. So, what categories can we assign this to that we need to be paying attention to?
Money.
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 Mm-hmm. Where else?
I think it falls under evil human speech.
Yeah.
It's made to deceive.
Good. Deceitful speech. Evil speech.
Could you possibly put it in lying?
Yes, absolutely lying.
And right across the way, there's greed.
And greed. Yep.
Falls there too.
I found it to be disrespectful. So you could add it into that line item of disrespect. And then also in the item of pride. Because now I'm boasting, right? I'm boasting that I made such a great deal. And I cheated my friend.
It's heavy in the sin category.
It's very heavy in the sin category, isn't it? Okay. Any other thoughts? All right. Hit verse 15.
Okay. There's gold and a multitude of jewels, but knowledgeable lips are a rare treasure.
Hmm. So what's this nugget of popcorn talking about?
Showing the true value of wisdom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. True value of wisdom.
Maybe common sense ain't all that common.
Right? Yeah. Common sense not common. So what categories could we assign this to? Maybe if I... What version did you read out of?
CSB.
Okay. Does anyone have another version that they could read?
ESV.
Okay.
And then 15. There is gold in an abundance of costly stones, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel.
Okay. So what is that talking about, our words? The words that come out of our mouth? What is the value of our words?
There is a precious jewel.
If they are
wise
words.
No. I think it's also telling us that wealth isn't necessarily bad.
Uh-huh.
But you can't hang your hat on that. It's, you know, way far better is.
Way far better? I think we ought to write that one down.
Okay, fine.
She went to school in Brazil, just to let everybody know. Way far better.
Did you really?
Like, not the country. Not the country. Not the country. There's a city in Indiana called Brazil.
Brazil, Indiana. Okay, now I got it.
Between here and Terre Haute is a city called Brazil. Yeah.
I was like, really? That's
interesting. Yeah. So wise words, meaning what we say, is way more better than gold or rubies or jewels, all the money in the world.
So you're saying knowledge? Is that the word you're translating
yeah.
it to be?
Mine translated is, but lips that speak knowledge are a rare jewel. And I think some translations are truth.
Yeah.
Yeah. So remember, back when if you look at the top of your sheet, we've had this replacement words. Knowledge is the idea of obtaining truth. Truth, knowledge, and truth are interchangeable in Proverbs. Where are we at? Yeah.
When I think of just like my version says knowledge. So when I think of like being able to share words of knowledge, of wisdom, or truth with somebody, they're words that are encouraging people, or adding value to people's lives, or helping promote human flourishing in their lives. And so it's words that help. increase the value of life of others.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I think of when I hear that.
Good. That's exactly what it is. So what categories, then, can we assign this to?
Wise.
Wise, verse 15. Wise.
Truth.
Truth, good.
Lips.
Lips, good.
Good in life under human speech.
Yep, good. All right, verse 16.
Take his garment, for he has put up security for a stranger. Get collateral with it as for foreigners.
So, thank you for reading. Do we have other versions to read? Because this one, I read four different versions. I read through three different commentaries. It's hard to understand for me. So, do we have another version? And then I'm going to we'll end with what this commentary says, because I think it puts it in a very good light. But what other versions do we have? Yes.
I got an easier to read version.
Okay, let's read it.
This is easy. Just kidding. If someone promised to pay the debt for a stranger, get a coat of something from him to keep until the debt is paid.
Okay, so we're talking about collateral, right? Yeah. So that's the idea. If you're going to collect money, or if you're going to sell something, and they're going to go into debt, get something for collateral.
Sounds like you're talking about a bank.
Yeah, kind of like that. Any other versions somebody wants to read?
Says, take his garment for that is surety for a stranger, and take a pledge of him for a strange woman.
Yeah. A foreigner or a strange woman. Yeah. So that's where it got real confusing for me, right? So let me read this 20, verse 16. It's on the other page. So here's what the commentary says. It is foolish to guarantee the loan of a stranger. The one who does so can lose everything, even the garment off his back. His primary article of clothing, which was his cloak, right? His clothes. These may be the words of a judge or a creditor regarding the loan guarantor. In other words, and this was like back in Jewish time, if you're going to make an agreement, make sure you have something of collateral that you can work with them. But if they're foreign, or if they're strange, or they're not a part of your community, or they're not Jewish, or whatever, then you better get something you can hang on to. Get something more, because you don't want to lose your shirt, right? You don't want to just have them walk away without paying you back.
Can I go a little nerdy on this?
You can certainly do that.
All right, so Proverbs is always just applying the law. So I just got the cross reference, so I do not have this verse memorized. I was like, I'm pretty sure that's in Deuteronomy. So there you go. It was Deuteronomy 12, where it basically just commands this. And so here's an honorary way to do it. It's Deuteronomy 24, verse 12 and 13, or 10 and 11, if you want it. But the story that came to mind, which wasn't in the cross reference, is the story of Judah and Tamar. You know this one?
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, it's fun to tell. Judah, you know, line of Jesus, line of David, fill in the blank. Supposed to be the guy with the scepter and the oldest of Jacob's kids, Israel's kids, the kingly line. And one of the only stories in the Old Testament about him is about a time that he accidentally slept with his daughter-in-law. I say accidentally because she was covering herself and basically only did what she was told to do by this dude who came up to her thinking she was a prostitute. And he gave her as collateral his identifying walking staff, his cloak, basically like your visa and social security card and driver's license. Like, he just gave them away to her as forms of collateral.
So fun stuff, and amazing how God uses those things in both ways. It's great.
Very good.
Well, and she did that because he was supposed to have given her another husband, right?
Yep.
So
because
it was a trick.
Yes.
To get
it was
what she was due.
Yes. What she was already due.
And if you go back to Saul, who was the one with Elijah? Who was the one with
Rachel
story?
And Diaz? Or
Samson and Delilah.
Samson, that's it. You go back to Samson, because Delilah wanted to know how is he so strong.
Oh, sure.
And she cuts off his hair and gives it back as collateral to the empire.
Philistines
empires, and they capture him for it. Like, hey, thank you.
So anyway, not just the Israelites. This was like common culture stuff. So here's how you're going to do this. If you're going to live in this culture, where here's how you do bank loans, basically.
Mm-hmm. And then that goes back to when Judas betrayed Jesus for silver too.
Yep.
I'm taking too far that one, but
oh, my bad. Sorry.
So, what category can we assign this to?
Confused.
Well, besides all the sleeping together stuff, maybe we could go with money.
Money.
Money, money, money. Yeah.
Maybe just wise.
Being wise. Discerning.
Well, it's definitely discerning for, in the sense of putting up surety for somebody else. That's sketchy.
Right.
What's that called when you sign your name to a loan that you know the other person can't pay?
Cosign.
Dumb.
Yeah, well, dumb is...
Cosign.
Foolishness is how Proverbs is.
Yeah, that's right.
But that is kind of the idea here. He's cosigning.
Yeah.
Huh. So you could even put it as fools for that foolishness. Yep.
My dad only cosigned one loan for me. It was for a car. And the stipulation was, you miss a payment, the car is mine until you pay it. Which means I would have to wait a whole month because he wasn't giving it back. I never missed a payment because I didn't want Dad to have my car.
That's how I am.
Yeah. I'm not missing a payment. All right, verse 17.
Bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel.
Okay. What was the first part of it?
Bread of deceit.
Bread of deceit is sweet.
Bread gained by deceit.
Uh-huh.
Mine says food gained by fraud.
Good. And it ends up like what in his mouth?
Gravel.
I think every translation I read was gravel.
So,
gravel.
Oh, gravel.
Rocks.
Is that what you're saying? Last word.
Verse 17. Bread gained by deceit sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth be full of gravel.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Alright, so what does this mean? What's it mean?
It seems like a lot of the verses we talked about are a lot of transaction kind of based verses, just protecting yourself, but also this is what it looks like when you're getting scammed.
Yeah. Good.
Well, this one sounds like a play on the, you're going to be sleeping with the fishes, you know. You're going to have gravel in your mouth.
He's a liar. Yep.
You kind of go back to your car thing. Initially, trying to deceive him to get a lower price or something might be sweet, but then afterwards, maybe you're going to have a guilty conscience about it.
Mm.
Yeah, I would.
Would they have the idea of a lump in your throat at this point in history? I don't know if that's a new idea.
Yep.
Is it wrong for me to want to pray for people that they will have gravel in their mouth after I know that they have been deceitful?
I think the Bible says it's going to happen, so I guess if you're going to pray,
I guess it's already going to happen, but yeah, I just am like, oh, there are sometimes.
It's the verse about dashing against the rocks and stuff like that. Yeah.
just had to ask the question.
The
I'm
Psalms,
like,
yeah. Gravel seems pretty light.
All right, so we've got a category of lying. What else we have?
Thieves.
Good.
Greed.
Yep.
It wouldn't be wrong to pray for justice.
Nope.
Okay, cool. Thank you. That helps me feel better.
Well, that keeps you from being the one to carry out the justice.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Expose corruption.
Yeah. Otherwise, you just turn into Batman slowly.
Right. Verse 18.
Make plans by seeking advice. If you wage war, obtain guidance.
Okay.
This is like when I'm going to send an angry email, and I send it to my boss first and be like, am I angry enough in this? or can I CC you on this before I send this?
Just put it in caps.
Yeah, per last email, and then...
Mm-hmm. Those are the ones I delete immediately.
That's actually a really good point, though. I like that example.
Never put anything in the two line.
It's perfect, you know, when you're like, okay, you have to provide the feedback that isn't always nice sometimes. You know, so, yeah, that's a good example.
That's a good one.
So what categories can we throw this in?
Feedback.
Yeah, feedback. How about counsel?
I was going to say counsel, definitely.
Planning?
Self-control.
Ooh, there you go.
I like his example further for that reason. It's like, okay, I'm angry typing, and then you send it to your boss, and your boss is like, whoa, wait a minute, you know? Or, yeah, send it, you know?
So. Yeah, my wife's, one of her favorite movies is My Best Friend's Wedding, if you know the Cameron Diaz, Julia Roberts, and all that. Just write out the angry email, and then, I didn't hit send, so...
Right.
I think it also lands on your patience because, this advising people to like wait and to be able to have to seek out wise guidance and counsel first before they do their plans. So it's like way of saying like, wait, hold up, let's think this through and let's be wise about it and not act rashly on whatever kind of predisposed plans we would have had. Otherwise, let's think wise about this.
It's that accountability.
Accountability.
Where you're, sometimes you can get in your own head and get in your own way, and accountability.
For those of you who are keeping track, we have written in the words integrity, blessing, selfish, accountability, and forgiveness. So yes, accountability is on that list. Okay. Those are some new ones we've added recently.
I think righteous path, righteousness.
Good. Verse 19.
And one who receives secrets is a constant gossip. Avoid someone with a big mouth.
Whoa. What are we talking about there?
Gossip.
Like a built-in commentary at the end. Like, what does that mean? Like, the second verse, like, that's pretty obvious.
Right? Maybe we can just go right to what categories can we assign this to?
Gossip and flattery.
Good. Gossip and flattery.
Self-control. Be careful who you're saying. Don't be complaining about somebody around certain people. Everyone's gonna know who you're complaining about.
Yeah, good. self-control, discernment, new write-ins, gossip, flattery, opportunities. Yeah.
Does everybody have the word secret? Is there any other kind of revealing that's done? Is it only secrets? What's a secret?
So the NIV, the old NIV, reads it as a gossip betrays a confidence.
Okay.
And so avoid a man who talks too much. So avoid a gossip betrays a confidence, or a gossip will tell a secret. That's what that confidence is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that
yeah, that's what I was asking.
Yeah.
There's usually a comment about what kind of secret. That's what I asked for. The inconfidence kind of makes it like a, this is not meant to be a sinful kind of secret. It's more like this is between you and I and not these other people. So it just kind of takes away into the notoriety, I guess.
Yes. All right, verse 20.
Verse 20. Whoever curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in deep darkness.
Oh. It's a little judgy today.
Yeah.
Well, essentially, lamp will be put out in dark, deep darkness, I'm going to assume, is death. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's a pretty severe punishment for dishonoring your parents.
It is a commandment.
I was going to say, yeah, and there is that commandment that goes along with it.
It's fair to ride, spoil the child, you know.
Honor their mother and father. Yeah, interestingly, this is one of those, there's no wishy-washy about it, is there? Honor your mom and dad, or you're just going to die alone. That's the way I read it. Your light will be put out in the middle of the night. Mm-hmm. When you think about that, or at least when I think about that, in the middle of the night, usually you're in your room, all the lights are out, it's just you, your thoughts, and just you all alone. And dying alone is not something that we as human beings really look to, right?
Well, this, even to go along with that, it even makes it more, there's more emphasis on this when, I mean, today we can flip a switch and there's light. Back at that point in time, you know, if somebody's coming in or if you're going to die in the middle of the dark, it's not like you can flip on the light. You've got to find the lamp, or, you know, it's not easy to turn on the light back then. And the darkness was so consuming because there wasn't any other source of light unless you were lighting a fire or the stars, you know.
Okay, so let me ask you a different question in a different way. What kind of person is dishonoring to their father and mom, to their dad and mom? Dishonoring,
cursing.
What kind of person is that?
Evil.
Foolish.
Yeah, for sure. Foolish. They can be evil. Is it someone you want to be around?
No.
No, it isn't. Even if you might agree with half of what they say, because it was a terrible thing that they had to endure, God says we're still supposed to honor them. The hardest thing that I... So when Crystal and I were working at the camp, one of the hardest things I heard a pastor say, he said... I was abused when I was a child. I was moved out of my home by the state and moved into foster care. I was bounced around to all kinds of families because I again was abused. And he said, and God tells me that I'm not to curse my mom and dad, even though they were abusive to me. He goes, and he said, and so, after having lived through all of that, I have learned that my dad is God. And I prayed to him, hello, Dad. Hello, Father. Dear Heavenly Father, he is my dad. I had earthly parents that did not love me. And to hear a man say that, who has wrestled with some of the most darkest demons that you could wrestle with, right? And be speaking to young people about what a relationship with God is really all about. He did not forget that he was beaten. He did not forget that he was abused. He did not forget that he was starved, but he was able to forgive because he saw that God was bigger. And God gave him a heart for people who hurt. That is a difficult thing to come to sometimes. And we all know people who have gone through terrible situations like that. Whether we know it or not, we know people who have been abused. You may not know you know them yet, but you do. They're right next door to you. They go to school with you if you're in school. They work with you. It's incredible the stories that are out there. And it is still our responsibility to try and help them see the hope in Christ. Right? Don't mean to be on a soapbox there, but what categories can we assign this to when we're looking at honoring our father and mother and not dying alone, not being alone ourselves?
I put fools on that one.
Fools?
And then parents.
Parents?
And then evil and death.
Very good.
And then I'm stuck.
I added children too.
Children? Oh,
thank you.
It also falls under disrespect and honor.
Very good.
I do like imagery that Crystal was kind of talking about, where I think my initial read of this was the like darkness equaling kind of punishment, and the lamp kind of being his, you know, his soul. But I think with your explanation, kind of made me think it could be the, you know, the lamp is his parents' support, and the darkness is the world he has to face alone because he blotted out his only protectors.
Yeah. Very good. Would it fall under the category of kindness?
Also had another disrespect.
Disrespect? Good. All right. Verse 21. An inheritance quickly gained at the beginning will not be blessed at the end.
Surprised me
with
the prodigal son.
There you go. What happened there?
So the younger son demands his inheritance from his father. And so the father gives it to him, and he goes and wastes it on lavish foolish living. And he ends up using all of it up. There's a famine in the land. He resorts to having to be like a pig farmer, and he realizes how much better his life with his father, and that he resorts to going back to being he's like, maybe my dad will accept me back as a servant that can work it all back for him. It says, I'm worthy to be your son, and you know, I'm more familiar with the father accepts him back, in fact runs to him, and embraces him, and in spite of all that, and welcomes him back as someone who was once lost but is now found.
Yeah. The grace of the Father, right?
Mm-hmm.
Salvation. So what are some of the categories that we could throw into this particular proverb?
Greed.
Good.
Money.
Money, yep.
It's really hard to ignore that word blessed.
Blessed.
Yep.
Blessing.
The blessing? What about self-control? Well, you get a whole lot of money, you need to show some restraint and some self-control. Otherwise, you will be like the prodigal son and spend it all and be broke.
What about for like accountability or like the idea of like stewardship?
Yeah.
Of just being able to like really gain it. It's like, you know, don't use it hastily. You know, be a good steward of this blessing that you've received.
Yeah. Accountability. Good. All right. Last verse. Verse 22.
Don't say, I'll repay the evildoer. Wait for the Lord and he will save you.
Mm. Thanks a lot. I should have quit early. What does this mean? Somebody give us a definition in your own words.
Don't seek your own revenge, because the Lord has a plan for that person.
Yep.
We're not the bringers of God's wrath.
Right. Yep. Anything else? I'll pay you back. Right? I'll get you.
We have to wait on the Lord and he will rescue us.
Yep. Good. So what categories can we assign this to?
I think sovereign God.
Yep.
Holy God.
Yep.
Righteous.
Righteous.
Faith.
Faith. Good.
Patience.
Patience.
Probably mercy. We're probably on the bad side of God's wrath more than we would like to admit.
Yeah. What about self-control? I think this takes an awful lot of self-control. Crystal and I all have this conversation every week. We're going to drive north on 465 Friday morning. We're going to see the doctor. And by the time I get there, I'm just not going to be all that happy. Because people just bother me in their cars. And I can't run over them. It's not my job. It's terrible. Can't bump them out of my way. Right?
You can't like go karts, right?
Yeah, well... They just won't sign up for that.
Didn't you spend buying a bumper car?
I did. I did. So, where we were this tonight, verse 13 through 22, kind of what's our wrap up as we walk away this week? You know, I think you said it earlier, Eli. A lot of these are transactional based, right? What we're talking about tonight, how we do transactions, how we behave in certain circumstances, seeking guidance, right? Anything else?
Influence on others.
Yeah, our influence on others. This whole chapter has been, I mean, everything in Proverbs, we're talking about our influence, but specifically in this chapter, we're talking about that. How many opportunities do we take and for our influence to be real? All right? Well, let's pray, and then thank you very much for being here this evening. Dear God, we love you. And we pray, Lord, that you would just show yourself in us and allow us to show you to others. Allow our influence to be real. Help people to see you and hear you from our mouth, from our example, from our behavior. Forgive us, Lord, when we fail. Strengthen us. Allow us a measure of self-control. Allow us a measure of mercy. Thank you for your forgiveness and allowing us to grow in you. In Jesus' name, amen.